The fourth Tuesday of every month takes us to the MCCSC, and our local superintendent is my great friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswald. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Busy, busy times, as it always is this time of year. Why? Well, heck, we're how many weeks in? We started on August 2nd. It's almost October 2nd, so almost two full months of school. How's everything been going in the macro to get things started here in 2023?
We've had a smooth opening. Things have been going great. As you know, this is our, I guess, our second board meeting, right, since the start of school. And you're right, we're almost 2 months in, and we're really just about two weeks and 2 days away from fall break, which is October 12th and 13th, Thursday and Friday. So the first quarter is nearly over. Matter of fact, it ends on October 6th. So for those of you counting, we're almost one-fourth of the way through the school year.
That's why I have you here. Math has not been my strong suit, so I rely on you for all of the wonderful, wonderful updates that come on and come through it. And we have some fun with that. I said earlier today that Mayor Hamilton would join us at 4:05. He's going to join us at 4:20 today. So those of you setting your watch, please, we don't we don't mean to screw it up, but we always don't get it right either. What else is making news? Well, there's a million things going on, that's for sure. I've saved stuff for you. There it is for Dr. Hoswald. But the one thing that jumps off the page, obviously, is last week Wednesday, our friends at Summit Elementary, where my son goes and daughter went, had a community conversation with local leaders about perhaps a new correctional facility coming to the neighborhood. How or what can the school board influence, help, hurt? How does that cross your desk? What do you have to or what can you provide as institutional help, political help? How does that work? I know this is, have you dealt with this before?
So we just simply provide a forum for community conversations when it comes to other government entities, and really just try to provide the space necessary for those conversations. If we are asked to give input on various initiatives, so if there's a residential tax increment financing district, for example, that may have increased housing in an area, such as the area around Summit. They'll ask us about capacity, which is often a common question. They'll ask about infrastructure. In a case such as the possibilities for changes in the location of a correctional facility, that probably has less of a direct impact on us. So we're asked based on the location to provide a space for that forum. Well, we do that frequently. It could be something related to a road construction with the state highway. It could be some kind of community conversation from a nonprofit organization. So we oftentimes provide the space. That was a case I know last week at Summit Elementary School. We'll have staff members there just to add any sort of facility needs and assistance. But the reality is these are community conversations that we facilitate or we support through space, but we really allow those conversations to take place between the government entities that are responsible for that and the community at large.
And those conversations took place also Sunday over at RCA Park as well. How? What is your position? Or I guess I could listen to the board meeting tonight and see what there is. Is this going to come up? Are you concerned that they might build a Justice Center campus jail that close to one of your schools?
It has not been something that has been a concern that has been brought to my attention at this point. And so I would not anticipate to be part of the conversation tonight.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest today. And the fourth Tuesday of each month means we have meeting night. I saw a post on the MCCSC Facebook page yesterday talking about the MCCSC high school principals sharing the following information with high school families regarding the 2024-2025 high school schedule. My daughter will be a freshman next year, so I'm interested. I have not got into this yet. What is information being shared there, my friend?
Well, the only information shared thus far, despite some misinformation,
that's why you're here to clear that up.
Occasionally available on social media is that we have set a goal to try to align our high school schedules for next year. Our principals are working through that with our curriculum office. We see that as an equity issue for several reasons, particularly of which by not having, we're not talking about like 3 or 4 or 5 minute differential between schools. We're just simply talking about having greater continuity when a student is required to transfer from one school to another, whether that's for housing insecurity, whether that's whether it's for mobility. If a student doesn't have a means to transfer themselves, they switch schools. And we have several students that switch schools throughout the year between North and South. And so the idea is that if we have one school on trimester, another one on a semester, we have students that are losing credit, and it's creating some barriers as they transition from one school to another. So at this point, the only thing that we've communicated is that we have set a goal of creating a common schedule. I'm trying to think beyond that, the next thing would be, of course, opportunities for community input, student surveys, student conversations, and then ultimately we would like to have a common schedule for the 24-25 school year. There's no formal schedule that's been designed at this time, just lots of input, lots of conversations, and more to take place regarding what type of learning situations and learning opportunities are best for our students, with a focus, of course, on our priority populations. Those are students that we're looking at data and what type of opportunities in terms of our schedule would best accommodate their needs.
And nothing has been decided yet. And is there a form to fill out? Is that what you want, feedback in that direction?
Well, people are always welcome to fill out a form. They're always welcome to submit that. Our curriculum office, our principals will review that. There'll be opportunities for additional input later on. But the reality is, at this point, we've just simply communicated that we are beginning the process to identify a common schedule for our high schools for next year. I know that there's been some speculation that a schedule already exists. And, of course, we've sort of, you know, when we talk about rivalries, we sort of, you know, there are people from South that are advocating for South schedules and people from North advocating for North. But at this point, the only thing we've done is identify a goal to have one common schedule. And that's it at this point.
Now, for those who are not scoring at home, why are there two different schedules here in the same school community for the high schools?
There's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of stories as to how that came to be.
Because you're kind of the new guy. You haven't been here that long. Yeah. What'd they tell you?
It's really unusual within a district to have such a vastly different schedule. I know some people have told me, well, we like that. It makes the schools unique. But we also know it creates some barriers to learning for students that have to go between schools. In other words, if you are in a trimester program and you only have 5 classes and you transfer to North and they're in the middle of a semester, it's really difficult for students to transfer back and forth. Oftentimes they'll lose credit. They'll be in a different part of a course, or a course is not available, for example. And so it really creates some equity issues in the sense that if a student were to move from one school to another and they have a means of transportation or another way to remain at their current school, then, of course, there's not the disruption. So that's sort of the base of the conversation, and then identifying how we create schedules to improve the opportunities for our priority populations.
I don't want to be devil's advocate here, but is this 10 kids a year? Is this 1,000 kids a year moving around? Why are we reinventing the wheel for whatever number this is? How does that work out?
Well, it's far more than 10, of course, and it's far less than 1,000. If we had 1,000, it would be over half of our students. And so we are looking at other ways to improve our schedule as well. But we argue that this would be an adjustment that, and even if it was one student, you know, we're just really trying to eliminate these barriers. These are students that lose enough credit that they may have to take a fifth year of school. It may limit the number of career exploration classes they take, may lead to increased likelihood of dropout. So, a common schedule, I think that our focus is that if it's significantly disadvantaged, no matter how few of students, it still is an unnecessary barrier. If we can remove that, it's worthwhile having this conversation.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest. He is the MCCSC superintendent. He joins us about the fourth Tuesday of every month, depending on how the holidays work themselves out, and we get into what's going on in the school corporation as well. Well, it's College Go Week. That's pretty exciting. September 25th through September 29th. A lot of college application fees are waived. That's exciting for our students looking to move on in post-secondary education.
Yeah, and I know that even the state of Indiana has set a goal. Indiana has actually had fewer students going to college over the last 10 to 15 years. It's creating some major economic headwinds for the state of Indiana, and I know we're doing everything we can to communicate the economic value of attending college and in terms of lifetime average salary earnings. And so Go Week is a really good opportunity for our counselors, our school staff to really just talk about college opportunities that exist, to talk about some of the programs and degrees students can earn, whether it's our local schools such as Ivy Tech Bloomington or IU Bloomington, other opportunities in the state and elsewhere. And so really the great thing about Go Week is it just simply allows students an opportunity to apply for those schools. Some of those initial fees are waived. And of course, we have a Monroe County MCCSC College Fair that is scheduled for Thursday, October 5th. That's not this Thursday, but next Thursday, and that's at Switchyard Park. It starts at 6 p.m. So just a lot of opportunities to learn about post-secondary options and opportunities, and we're always making sure our students understand the importance of continuing education in one fashion or another. And Go Week is a good way for students to get a jump start on those applications with some of those initial fees waived.
That's it. Get in there. Enjoy it.
Right.
No, what are you waiting for? The fee to go up? Come on. We can't. We don't want to do any of that. How about your friends at Unionville? That outdoor pavilion's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, we had the opportunity to have a ribbon cutting, and it was a fantastic last week. And, I believe we had between 300 and 400 people there to celebrate. Golly, the students were really celebrating their outdoor earth education programs and, you know, through song and poem and recital and, a little This Land Is Your Land, a sing-along, I think, is what we had. So, we always like to sing. I don't know. Is that Woody Guthrie or Arlo? It's Woody Guthrie.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's
a tough
one.
I think it's Woody Guthrie. Ribbon a highway, above me the endless skyway,
yeah.
Below me the golden valley, this land was made for you and me. So we're really proud of that. We're really proud of investing in our schools, learning opportunities for students, outdoor education. And it's just a great resource. So it was a really fun evening and a great way to celebrate Unionville, and we call that Centennial Amphitheater, kind of on the heels of them celebrating their 100th anniversary. They've been a high school and a middle school and elementary school and all the above, and they just do great work out there, and we're real proud of them, and they deserve it. And we're working on improving our facilities across the district in a lot of different ways.
Carpool Karaoke continues with Dr. Jeff Hoswald here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
Parents University, that's been busy here since school has started. What's been the turnout like and the feedback?
Turnout has been great. I know last year we had hundreds of participants. We averaged participation near capacity at many of our sessions. We are really adding new topics on a regular basis, again, based upon a lot of feedback we're getting from family members. So some of it's college application related. Some of it's different programs and options for English learning, digital literacy, cybersecurity, health and safety, just a lot of those topics. And we're real pleased with that. Of course, our long-term goal would be able to create a space for our parent university at the former HT building as we develop that. I know that we plan to start remodeling construction in early 2024 with a goal of opening that for the 25-26 school year. So we're about 18 to 21 months away from that, but nonetheless, that'll create an incredible space for our parent university in the near future.
Plenty of seats still available. Well, there will be here when that is redone and ready to go. Big meeting tonight. Where are you on the budget talks? Are you ready for next year?
Yeah, we have hearings, of course. Our final budget hearing is tonight. We have a lot of appropriations hearing, project hearing, a lot of financial pieces. So you're going to, the first probably 15 minutes of the meeting, project hearing, appropriations hearing, budget hearings. But this is the part where we basically kind of go over our budget, our plans for next year. And remember, our budgets are on calendar year. So this is our 2024 budget, January to December. That incorporates just a lot of details. That's our operations budget. That includes transportation funding and our maintenance staff and just a lot of those types of programs, our education funding, how we'll be paying for our teachers, as well as referendum funding. As you know, we already have incorporated in our budget our 2022 referendum, which was used to increase salaries and wages. But then we're also making appropriations in the anticipation should the referendum for 2023 pass. Of course, that will provide significant expansions to early childhood opportunities. It'll also waive fees for supplies for families, career education fees, testing fees, technology, the average estimated impact on a taxpayer is $50. But nonetheless, it's going to be a significant expansion, and our average family will save hundreds to thousands of dollars. It's in the hundreds, up to $1,000 for those that are K-12, but it's in the thousands of dollars for people who have children ages 3 and 4. So we think it's the right thing to do. It's a good investment. And, of course, that's going to be on the ballot Tuesday, November 7th. So hopefully for our next meeting in October, we'll give you a rundown and some additional updates on our 2023 referendum.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it, won't it? When is fall break? Is that the 12th and 13th?
That's correct.
Okay, good.
Fall break is Thursday and Friday, October 12th to 13th. So that's pretty much next on our calendar. And then, of course, as we just mentioned, Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. We do not have school that day. We have an in-service. So, we kind of have these breaks. At least we have one day off at least every month this year. Sometimes April can be a long haul.
Not this year.
Of course, off for the solar eclipse.
That's correct. Baby. I'm going to get me some of them fancy glasses and go outside and stare right into the sun. Now, that's a busy agenda tonight. Am I leaving anything off, or is the budget the big focus tonight?
Budget is a big focus. Of course, we're going to continue with our regular agenda, some basic policies that are required by law. And then we're going to go over Equity Goal 1. That's sort of our first update from last year in a strategic plan related to access and opportunity with some data. And we'll put that online for people who would like to kind of see our presentation and really the work we're doing to improve our district through our strategic plan.
Excellent. And that's tonight, the meeting. Always, always, always. Do you get a little started earlier because you have those extra things tonight, or is it same time?
6 o'clock. We will same time. We do have a quick executive session required by law at 5:30 with some school safety reviews. That's a new requirement from our Indiana legislature. But our public meeting begins at 6 o'clock at the CoLab. And that would be at 553 East Miller Drive.
Sounds good. Did we have a job fair? Having a job fair, you guys got enough people working? You can always use more. I know that's part of the always view. You always got to have the long term view, right?
That's right. That's right. We just had a job fair, but we have still job openings on our website and through our HR department, and it's a great place to work. We have competitive wages and salaries. We continue to increase those. We're currently bargaining right now, and we expect to increase our wages and salaries here in the next few months. And it's a great place to be. And if anyone's interested in possible career opportunities for MCCSE, right there on our website, mccse.edu, all the details you need, as well as news updates and lots of relevant information.
Great job as always, my friend. I know you're busy, and I know this changing perhaps of the schedules will be a big topic moving forward. And I look forward to running into you when I do and talking to you next month, buddy. Thank you.
I can't wait, Mike. Thanks for the support.